Let's read together Jeremiah chapter 1. In this first chapter, Jeremiah, we have the call and commission of the prophet Jeremiah. Let's begin by reading the first three verses. Jeremiah chapter 1, beginning with verse 1. The words of Jeremiah, the son of Hilkiah, of the priests who were in Anathoth in the land of Benjamin, to whom the word of the Lord came in the days of Josiah, the son of Ammon, king of Judah, in the 13th year of his reign. It came also in the days of Jehoiakim, the son of Josiah, king of Judah, until the end of the 11th year of Zedekiah, the son of Josiah, king of Judah, until the carrying away of Jerusalem captive in the 5th month. Let's begin our study of this first chapter of Jeremiah with some background notes. The time of the prophet Jeremiah was about 100 years after the time of Isaiah the prophet. During Isaiah's day, the Assyrian Empire was in power. Now, during Jeremiah's day, Nebuchadnezzar and the Babylonians come to power. We see from these first three verses of Jeremiah chapter 1 that Jeremiah had more than a 40-year ministry. He ministered in Judah from the 13th year of King Josiah in 627 BC to the days of Zedekiah, the last king of Judah. And we know that his ministry continued on for the people left in Jerusalem even after the nation had gone into captivity in Babylon in 586 BC. So Jeremiah had a long ministry, but it was not a pleasant or popular ministry because he had to constantly denounce and warn the people of the coming judgment of God upon Judah and Jerusalem, including the destruction of their beautiful temple. All of this, of course, was because of the sins of the people and their turning away from the Lord. That's why Jeremiah is called the weeping prophet. And we see this further, of course, in the book of Lamentations that Jeremiah wrote after the fall of Jerusalem. Jeremiah is also called the prophet of loneliness because he was commanded by the Lord in chapter 16 not to marry, as a vivid warning and sign to Judah that happy and normal times were soon to end with the coming captivity. We see from verse 1 that the prophet Jeremiah was from a priestly family and he lived in Anathoth, in the land of Benjamin, about 3 miles north of Jerusalem. Now, the book of Jeremiah is difficult to outline thematically or chronologically, but in general, although there are some exceptions, chapters 1 through 39 are prophecies before the fall of Jerusalem, and chapters 40 through 52 are prophecies after the fall of Jerusalem, or at least after the first invasion by Nebuchadnezzar and the Babylonians in 605 BC. Well, so much for background. Let's move now to our doctrinal teaching points for Jeremiah chapter 1. Doctrinal point number 1, the call of believers is predetermined by our sovereign Lord. The call of believers is predetermined by our sovereign Lord. Verses 4 through 10. Jeremiah chapter 1, beginning now with verse 4. Then the word of the Lord came to me, saying, "Before I formed you in the womb, I knew you. Before you were born, I sanctified you. I ordained you a prophet to the nations." Then said I, "Ah, Lord God, behold, I cannot speak, for I am a youth." But the Lord said to me, "Do not say, 'I am a youth,' for you shall go to all to whom I send you, and whatever I command you, you shall speak. Do not be afraid of their faces, for I am with you to deliver you, says the Lord." Then the Lord put forth his hand and touched my mouth, and the Lord said to me, "Behold, I have put my words in your mouth. See, I have this day set you over the nations and over the kingdoms, to root out and to pull down, to destroy and to throw down, to build and to plant." In these verses, we have the call of Jeremiah. Question: when was the call of Jeremiah? Was it the year that he began his ministry? No. Answer: the call of Jeremiah was predetermined in the eternal counsels of God. God is omniscient. He knows everything from the beginning to the end. God not only knew all about Jeremiah before he was born, but God sovereignly formed Jeremiah when Jeremiah was conceived, right down to the genetic makeup of Jeremiah. Furthermore, we see that God predetermined the ministry of Jeremiah. Verse 5, "Before I formed you in the womb, I knew you. Before you were born, I sanctified you. I ordained you a prophet to the nations." Now, can all of this be applied to believers today? Yes, of course. To say that God didn't know all about you from eternity would be to say that God is not omniscient. And to say that God didn't know about the spiritual gifts that he was going to give you, or that he didn't plan your area of service, would be to take away from God's sovereignty. The Apostle Paul recognized this truth when he wrote in Galatians 1:15 that he was set apart from his mother's womb. Think of it. The Apostle Paul, who persecuted the church before he was saved, set apart for the ministry before he was born. And listen to what we read in Ephesians chapter 2, verse 10, about our area of service. For we are his workmanship, created in Christ Jesus for good works, which God prepared beforehand that we should walk in them. Ephesians 2:10. The call of believers is predetermined by our sovereign Lord. We are not just a random accumulation of molecules by chance. We are known. We are formed. We are set apart. We are appointed. The call of believers is predetermined by our sovereign Lord. Doctrinal point number two. The call of believers is confirmed by our loving Lord. The call of believers is confirmed by our loving Lord. Verses 11 through 16. Jeremiah chapter 1, beginning now with verse 11. Moreover, the word of the Lord came to me, saying, Jeremiah, what do you see? And I said, I see a branch of an almond tree. Then the Lord said to me, you have seen well, for I am ready to perform my word. And the word of the Lord came to me the second time, saying, what do you see? And I said, I see a boiling pot, and it is facing away from the north. Then the Lord said to me, out of the north, calamity shall break forth on all the inhabitants of the land. For behold, I am calling all the families of the kingdoms of the north, says the Lord. They shall come, and each one set his throne at the entrance of the gates of Jerusalem, against all its walls all around, and against all the cities of Judah. I will utter my judgments against them concerning all their wickedness, because they have forsaken me, burned incense to other gods, and worship the works of their own hands. In these verses, we have two signs that the Lord gave Jeremiah to confirm his ministry. Both signs emphasize to Jeremiah that his prophetic warnings to Jerusalem would come true. The almond tree was the first tree to blossom in Israel, and it announced that spring was near. In the same way, Jeremiah's prophecies about the soon coming fall of Judah and Jerusalem would come true. The sign of the boiling pot facing north emphasized that the Babylonian forces would come from the north and besiege Jerusalem in the near future, as Jeremiah predicted. Notice, by the way, that Jeremiah did not ask for these signs, but the Lord gave them as confirmation to Jeremiah of his ministry. We need to be careful about asking God for signs. The Lord said in Matthew chapter 12, verse 39, that an evil and adulterous generation seeks after signs. Matthew 12, 39. 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 7 says, we walk by faith, not by sight. 2 Corinthians 5, 7. That verse alone should warn us against demanding signs from God. However, the Lord in his grace does give confirmation when we are following him and doing his will. And many times, this confirmation is with confirming signs. Illustration. When we were thinking and praying about the Lord's direction for growing Christian ministries, we were offered some free radio time. We took this as a confirming sign that the Lord wanted growing Christian ministries to expand into radio ministry. And God has blessed and provided for this expansion. Many other examples could be given where we did not ask for signs, but the Lord confirmed in no uncertain terms our walk of faith and decisions for the ministry. The call of believers is confirmed by our loving Lord. Now, what about practical application from Jeremiah chapter 1? Let's gird up our loins. Let's gird up our loins. Verses 17 through 19. Jeremiah chapter 1, beginning now with verse 17. Therefore, prepare yourself, or gird up your loins, and arise, and speak to them all that I command you. Do not be dismayed before their faces, lest I dismay you before them. For behold, I have made you this day a fortified city and an iron pillar and bronze walls against the whole land, against the kings of Judah, against its princes, against its priests, and against the people of the land. They will fight against you, but they shall not prevail against you. For I am with you, says the Lord, to deliver you. The expression, gird up your loins, comes from the time when they wore loose robes and would tie them up around their waist when working. So a paraphrase of this phrase could be, get ready for action. We see from verse 19 that Jeremiah's ministry was not going to be well received. After all, he was preaching about judgment to come in the near future. In fact, we see back in verse 6 that Jeremiah was reluctant to enter the ministry because of his youth and poor speaking ability. What was the Lord's answer to Jeremiah? Don't be afraid. I will be with you and tell you what to say. Verses 7 and 8. I have touched your mouth, and you will speak my words. Verse 9. I will give you strength and determination. Verse 18. The opposition will not overcome you. Verse 19. Now therefore, gird up your loins. Get ready for action. All of these promises that the Lord gave to Jeremiah, he gives to us as well. Whatever the Lord calls us to do, he will give us the strength and courage and needed resources. So let's get ready for action. Let's gird up our loins. Practical application number 2. Let's be all that we were meant to be. Let's be all that we were meant to be. This is essentially the challenge that God gave Jeremiah. Look back at verse 5. Before I formed you in the womb, I knew you. Before you were born, I sanctified you. I ordained you a prophet to the nations. Now, what was the logical conclusion that Jeremiah should have drawn from this firm declaration from the Lord? Jeremiah was to realize that God was challenging him to be all that he was meant to be. When Jeremiah made his excuse in verse 6 and said, Ah, Lord God, behold, I cannot speak, for I am a youth. The Lord had to rebuke Jeremiah in verses 7 and 8 and say, Do not say, I am a youth, for you shall go to all to whom I send you, and whatever I command you, you shall speak. Do not be afraid of their faces, for I am with you to deliver you, says the Lord. In other words, Jeremiah, with my help, you can be all that I meant you to be. You know, the Lord would say the same to us. The Lord has made us and designed us in line with his sovereign plans and purposes. God does not expect us to be what we were not designed to be, but he does expect us to be all that we were meant to be. According to Matthew chapter 25, some Christians are 5-talent servants, and some are 2-talent servants, and some only have 1 talent. Again, the Lord does not expect you to be a 5-talent person if he has designed you to be a 2-talent person. But even if you are only a 1-talent person, God expects you to be all that you were meant to be. Do we make excuses like Jeremiah did at first and maybe with false humility hold back from doing what the Lord is calling us to do? Let's realize the challenge of Jeremiah chapter 1. Let's be all that we were meant to be.